Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy.
Today in chapel, as Maya already mentioned, we have TC Talks prepared for you. And TC Talks is not one long message from one speaker, but it's a lot of short messages from multiple speakers. And we have five students who are prepared to share with you today. And I think one of my favorite things about TC Talks, which is also one of my favorite things about Troy Christian Chapel, is the student leadership. You know, so often in youth ministries, and it is easy for students to fall into a spectator mindset where they just watch their leaders and the adults in front of them be Christian for them. And they're just content watching, being a spectator. But what we try to accomplish here at Troy Christian is more of an ownership mindset, where you all as students are able to take on opportunities to lead, opportunities to serve, and opportunities to live out your faith in front of others so that it becomes yours and not your parents or not the teachers or adults in your life. And so today, I'm excited to see all the students speak and let them lead for themselves. And so without any further ado, I want to introduce our first speaker. It is Senior Lauren Montgomery.
Hey, everybody. As Mr. Royce already said, my name is Lauren. I'm sure most of you know that. Today I'm going to be talking about God's plan for you in your life and why it's so important to me that I'm trusting God's plan in my life. So I'm going to start off by telling you a story and a little about my testimony. In the summer of 2017, I was going into my freshman year of high school, and at the time I was back at National Trail, which was my old school, and life was great. I was 14 years old. I didn't think anything could go wrong at the time. And that was up until June 22nd when my dad suddenly passed away. And this was very unexpected because he had no health issues, he wasn't sick, so we were all caught off guard by this. And when the autopsy came back, we found out that he had passed away of a massive heart attack. And again, that was shocking because we were like, he had heart conditions? Like, what? And the more we read into the autopsy, we found out that he had 5 to 6 smaller heart attacks that led up to the big major one. And this was a really hard time for me because my dad and I were very close. He was like one of my best friends, so that was very hard for me to go through. I remember questioning God, asking, why did this happen? I was 14 years old, and I'm like, I have to live the rest of my life without my dad. And since I'm a girl, and whenever I get married, if I get married, I have to walk down the aisle, and my dad is supposed to walk me down the aisle, and the thought of him not being there for my wedding is, heartbreaking. I'm sure people have lost someone close to them, whether it be a family member, a close friend, and you know how hard it is to think about going the rest of your life without them. And I remember questioning, I was like, why is this happening? He's going to miss so many milestones in my older brothers and my life, marriage, graduating, driving, getting our license. And I was so angry at God. I was like, why did this happen? I thought I was a pretty cool person. Why did this happen to me? I didn't understand. And nobody wants to experience losing one of their parents, or honestly losing anyone. Nobody wants to go through that. It is heartbreaking, and you just don't understand. And on June 29th, 2017 was when we laid my dad to rest. And other than him passing away, that was probably one of the worst days of my life. It was really tough to go through. My mom always told me that God had a plan for our lives, and I was like, how is this a part of his plan? My dad passing away, me having to live the rest of my life without him, how is this a part of his plan? What is going to come out of this that is good or that I'm going to learn? and I didn't understand. Now looking back, I was wrong, and I totally understand where she was coming from because I see the good that came out of it. And one of actually the best things that came out of it was my brother and I got so much closer after it happened. We were always pretty close growing up until that happened, and now my brother and I are so close. And now he's out in Arizona thriving, and I'm so proud of him. Even before my dad had passed, my parents have thought about transferring my brother and I to TC. My brother was more for it than I was. I was nervous. I was like, people aren't probably not going to like me. I was comfortable where I was. I had my friends. I knew what was going on. I'm like, no, I don't want to transfer. And my mom told me that she signed me up for a TC volleyball camp here. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, I don't want to go. They're not going to like me. And I'm so glad that she had me go because I met some of the greatest people there. Everyone was so nice, the coaches, the players. They made me feel so welcome. And I felt like I was coming into a whole nother family. So after that, I was like, yeah, like, I want to go. Like, I want to go to Troy Christian. And I am so happy that I did because I have met some great people here. I've not only grown in my faith, but I've grown so much as a person, and I'm so happy that I'm here. And a few months going into the school during my freshman year, I decided to get baptized, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made. And sitting through the chapels and talking to people, hearing other people's stories really inspired me, and I knew like that it was important to me, and I'm so happy I made the decision. The reason why I'm telling you this story is to show you that good things can come out of bad situations. I don't know what has gone on in your personal life, the pain you've went through or the pain you may be going through right now, but I can tell you that like it gets better, 10 times better. You may not see it now, but I promise you God has a plan for all of this happening. There's a reason for all of this. But you need to trust God. As Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." Like I said, God has a plan for you. There's a reasoning for all this to be happening. You're not going to see it. You're not going to understand. It may take a few days, weeks, and it took me a year more to understand why this all happened. But you just need to trust in him. Trust that he has better things planned for your future.
Hola, my friends. I think most of you know me, but if you don't, my name's Hannah. Hi. I'm going to be talking about positivity today because we don't have enough of that. I know everything right now is pretty weird, so that's why I'm here. I just want to start out by saying, you know the term optimist and pessimist? Like, everybody's like, oh, I'm an optimist, I'm a pessimist. The optimists see the glass is half full and the pessimists see it as half empty. And so you can probably tell which one you are. You may have a friend that's always like, ooh. You may have a really happy friend. You get it. But the point is, one moment. Right. I'm sure you're really tired of hearing all the COVID made everything really difficult. Now we're really sad. So I'm here to give you a little bit more perspective because it always seems like people always tell us you have to count your blessings. You always have to look at the bright side of things, but they never really get into what that is. Like, they're like, oh, just count your blessings. And you're like, okay, well, I have a house, I have a family, I have a dog. It's a pretty cool dog, but that's like all I can think of. And I'm here to give you some options to think of when you can't think of any more, because eventually, if you say it enough, it gets boring. So I'm here to tell you some incredible facts that God made you, some incredible blessings. But before that, we're going to read Jeremiah 29:11, which will help a segue. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." These are basically his blessings that he gave us. And here are two of those blessings. So the first one I have is, did you know that you are a scientific improbability? The chance that you exist right now is a 1 in 10 to the 2,685,000th chance. Like, you should not exist. Scientists really don't know how to explain that we exist. Like, you being there right now the exact way you are is impossible. You being alive is a miracle. It's really cool, okay? Second fact, right now, what you're hearing, I mean, I know we know this. I know we've been in science class, but really think about it. Like, right now, What I'm saying right now, the noise, this is just vibrations bouncing off walls, going into your eardrums. You can hear that. And the most incredible thing about it is the fact that your mind, in less than a moment, right now, is processing my sounds, putting them into letters, then putting them into words, and then putting it into sentences, and splitting it all up, and then making meaning out of them. Do you know how many words that you can actually comprehend? Like, how many words that you've been taught and you know? It's incredible, and it means... This may not astound you. It just really freaks me out. It's cool. And think about it. God gave us that. Think about how intricate every single one of those details and every single part of that is. All the different pieces that God made in our bodies that literally just, it's just for that. Just does this. But then all together, it creates you, which is a scientific improbability. You are a miracle, and every part of you is a miracle because God made you that way. And it's so important to think about these things because we go around all the time just thinking, oh, life's horrible. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hard to think positively because of depression and other things that really just kind of stunt your positivity growth. That was weird. It's incredible when we look under the surface of our just surface level blessings. We look at our best friend and we're like, oh yeah, that's my best friend. She's so cool. He's so cool. We're best friends. It's awesome. But you don't look under there. Like you see your best friend, but you don't see that they're a person and they're a miracle too. Every single aspect of our lives is a miracle created especially by God. And it's incredible. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So basically what I'm saying is you have so much to be grateful for. You have so many blessings. And I'm not saying that you're going to succeed in being positive all the time, but if you really try and you really make an effort to think about those things under the surface, those little tiny blessings that you didn't even realize existed, then you can make yourself, you can show people what it's like to really be a follower of God because he's the one that gave you those things and it's incredible. So if you make that effort to be positive and you really put in the work and you're like, yeah, today I'm gonna look at myself and be like, wow, I can talk. Like that's cool. People are gonna see that. And if we can be positive to ourselves, we can be positive to others, and it's a whole cycle. So search for your blessings, kids.
What's up, y'all? Today, I'm gonna talk to you guys about identity. I believe that identity is extremely important in our walk with Christ, and it's extremely important in our day-to-day lives interacting with each other. Now, there are two parts of our identity. There's our false identity, and then there is our true identity. Now, I'm going to begin by talking about our false identity. Now, our false identity can come from who the world says we are. Now, these are unrealistic standards that we are pressured into meeting. Standards like how much money we make, what type of clothes we wear, what type of car we drive, how many friends we have, how many likes we get. And then we take these standards and we try and meet them because everyone else does. And we begin to feel like, oh, I'm not as valuable because I don't have this car. I'm not as valuable because my grades aren't as good as everyone else. My ACT score isn't as high as everyone else. And we begin to take all of these different standards and say, this is who I am because of these things. This is my identity because the world says so. And this is a false identity. These are lies whispered by the devil. Now, this changes our perspective of how we see ourselves, who we think we are. These can be insecurities. These can be lies that we tell ourselves and discouragement. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not athletic enough. I'm not popular enough. Insecurities that some of you guys may have, insecurities that no one else knows about, but because you've assumed them as your identity, that's just what you believe.
Now, personally, I'm no exception to this. I have just as many insecurities as everyone else. One of those insecurities that has been one of my biggest insecurities in the past is my height. It's no secret I'm not the tallest guy. And I've always thought in my mind that, oh, the tall guys, those are the guys that get the girls. Those are the guys that make varsity. Those are the popular guys. And it was something I could never change. And it brought a lot of discouragement into my life because I assumed that as my identity, even though it was false. Now, this seems kind of sad and it can be at times, but just like there's a false identity, there is also our true identity. Now, this true identity doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from our mind. But our true identity is who Christ says we are. Now, who does Christ say we are? Well, Jesus says we are loved unconditionally by him. And we've all experienced a form of love from our parents, maybe a boyfriend, a girlfriend, siblings. And so when we hear unconditional love, we think that's great, but love seems to come to an end at times. But the kind of love that Jesus has for us never fails. It's something that goes beyond our comprehension. At times, it doesn't even make sense. We can't fully comprehend the love Jesus has for us. And a reminder that I want to give to you guys on just how much God loves you. The creator of everything. He created the heavens, the earth, the beautiful stars we see on a clear night, the amazing sunrises and sunsets we're given every day, the roaring oceans, the humongous mountains, the amazing animals. He created all of that, and he still says, I love you the most. You are my prized possession. None of that compares to the love I have for you. And we tend to not understand like why this is. And part of that is because we see each other as on the surface. We look at the outside, not the inside. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks on the heart. Jesus doesn't look at us for how tall we are, how fast we are, how rich we are. He doesn't see those things. He sees our heart. And he says, no matter what, I love you because you are beautiful. You are my creation. And that's something that will never change. The standards the world gives us and the false identities we tell ourselves will come and go. They'll constantly change. They'll never be the same. But the love Jesus has for us is everlasting and eternal. So if there's one thing I want to leave with you guys today, it's that your identity is not decided by others. It's not decided by the world. And it's definitely not decided on your perspective of yourself. Your true identity has already been determined, and it is unconditionally loved by God. And nothing will change that. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I want to talk about something that is super important today, literally like today and in our culture in general. It's the topic of love because we hear it all the time and we never understand it to its full extent. Let me read 1 Corinthians 13. It says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love, love, love. We hear it all the time. We hear it in church. Pastors talking about love others. We hear it in the Bible. We hear love your neighbor as yourself from parents and relationships, boyfriends and girlfriends. They say, I love you. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I love you, wife, husband. We hear it in songs. I love your face. I love your body. I love your time. I love your mind. I love you. We hear it in social media. We hear all this stuff about love on social media, but I need to clarify something, that the definition of love on the internet is different than what we should define it as, because the definition of love on the internet says an intense feeling of deep affection. Or, if you are on the Oxford Dictionary, according to the Oxford Dictionary, the definition of love is a feeling of deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. Okay, you know what love isn't? It's not a feeling. If we can take away one point from Jesus' crucifixion, I'd like to say that that was the greatest act of love in history. You know, ask why it's the greatest love. It's how many times have you said I love you to a boyfriend or girlfriend or someone alike and they don't say I love you back? Like, that hurts, doesn't it? In the Bible, it says that the world is the bride of Christ because Jesus willingly gives us his genuine love, hoping that we might receive it back. Now, what if you dated someone that only said I love you when they needed something? I know the adults in the back of the room are like, yeah, you'll get that later. And would never talk to you otherwise. And would you still date that person? Because I know that willingly I wouldn't. And not only does God give his love, not only does he give his life, he gave his love too. Not only did he free the Christians, he wishes for those who despise him to join him in heaven. But not only did he work for change in the world, he came to the world to do it. You see, he was in the world, but he wasn't of it. He didn't ridicule Peter because Peter didn't listen to the same music he did. He didn't mock because someone asked a question that most people probably know the answer to. He didn't grow a massive following just to divide them by having them argue over pointless narratives. You see, Jesus was a teacher who loved. Jesus told people how to love. And the world forces people on how to live. Jesus tells us how to walk his path, but the people tell you you can't do that. I've been on social media way too much recently. You gotta understand, I am literally addicted to social media, and I will say it outright. I spend like 3 hours a day on Instagram, and the rest of it's on Snapchat. I promise to you, if you look at my phone, you will see that. But here's the problem. The more I scroll, the more I regret it. The more I click on that person's story, like their post, scroll to the next one, read that tweet, or even on the news, it's the same difference. The more I regret doing it. But that's a problem, is it not? Because I know a lot of people feel the same way I do about it. I see hatred coming from Christians, hatred towards non-believers, other believers, left party, right party, adults to kids, kids to adults, celebrities to celebrities. It's all the same. But I have to focus on the fact that I see Christians getting so infuriated over social media comments and posts. Okay, so listen to this. I read a post that said, why Christians are a part of the problem, posted by a Christian. See, one of my friends messaged that person, two Christians in an argument, and the one argued that Christianity is a huge problem, and the other was saying that Jesus was literally a teacher on how Christians should live, so how could it be a problem? See, it ended in one person blocking the other, posting on their story about why the other was wrong, and a whole lot of ranting to me from both sides. And just because that one person's truth was different than the others. But I have a question. When did the cross lose its value to the point where us being right is more important than us loving right? When did the body of Christ become so in love with the idea of leaving Christ out of our own lives? You see, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. This means he loves the world and he is in it, not of it. He can love without being drug into an argument. Can you imagine God arguing about politics? Because I can't. You see, I wrote this after getting frustrated. I was frustrated. I was on social media. I saw on an Instagram post, I saw a Christian post this. He said, if you don't support this, you're going to hell and here's why, a thread. And then I saw a non-believer debating Christians in the comments about how to love. It tore apart my heart. But I keep this in mind always because I remember when we get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Before I had to come up here and speak, I had my worship playlist on. I was listening to the song Pieces, and there's a lyric in it that says, your heart isn't broken, it isn't insecure, it isn't selfish, your heart is pure. I hope that we can all get to chasing God's heart together. Thank you.
A kid walked into a candy store with his dad, and he was amazed at the many displays of candy. What should I choose? What should I choose? What should I choose? He asked himself. His dad said, come on, son, we don't have all day. You need to pick one. He went up and down the aisles, picking up bags and putting them back. He couldn't decide. His dad said, son, come on, you need to pick one. We have to go. Eventually, the boy and his father walked out empty-handed. The boy wanted every single bag of candy, but he couldn't choose just one, and he left with nothing. We are all that boy. The world is our candy store. We have tons of options available to us. But if we don't make a decision about our career, about our relationships, about our churches, about whatever, then we are going to end up empty-handed. Sometimes we worry so much about making the wrong choice. What if we regret the direction we take? And what if it's too late to go back? The bigger danger is that if we make no decision at all, we are going to end up with nothing and nowhere, and we are going to go nowhere. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20 says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live long and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to worship and serve other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long and prosperous life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given life in the land you are crossing into the Jordan, and I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that your descendants might live. You make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him, and by committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the Lord, in the land the Lord promised your ancestors, Isaac and Jacob." My first point to you today is that life is full of choices. Your life is made up of tons of choices. And these, they tend to be reoccurring choices. These choices you make day after day, time after time. We make choices about everything, from what am I going to wear today, to oh, what should I eat for dinner, where should I go shopping later. These are so many choices we make every day. And there are many choices that we're going to make that may seem small, but these recurring choices can start to affect our everyday life. These choices can start relationships. If you choose not to spend time with your family, then your family life's going to be strained. They can affect your academic life. If you choose not to study for tests, then you're not going to get good grades. These choices can also affect your spiritual life. If you choose not to spend time in prayer and devotion, then you are not going to grow in your relationship with Christ. And these choices you make can also affect your future. I promise you that if you choose to make Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, then your future will be changed in the best possible way. My second point is to live today like it matters. I'm going to encourage you to look at the big picture. Let's think about a painting. A painting is made up of thousands of strokes from the paintbrush. And our lives are the same way. We are made up of thousands of choices. And in the same way, for the painting to become a masterpiece, every stroke of the brush mattered. The same way every choice in your life matters. To make up the masterpiece of your life, you need to live like those choices matter. And every choice you make must be taken seriously. So I'm sure you can think of somebody that's super positive, super happy, always a good time to be around, right? And that person is way different than a person you can think of that's super negative and super complainative and kind of a Debbie Downer. What is the difference between these two people? The difference is the choices they have made. The person that's always happy and always joyful, they made the choice to be content in every circumstance. They made the choice to be happy even when it's hard. But the person that's negative and complainative, they did not make that choice. They did not choose to be happy in every circumstance. This shows you that your choices can start to affect your future. They can start to shape the person you become. Your everyday choices will matter. They matter, and they can shape the person you become. We have a purpose, and to complete that purpose, we need to live today like it matters. You matter, your relationships matter, and your choices matter. So live today like it matters. My third point is that you have the opportunity to make the best choice. There is a word that is more important than all the others. And this word comes from verse 15. And it says, today, I'm giving you a choice between life and death. That word is today. Today, this day. That is the best thing about the Christian life, is that your past does not have to equal your future. At any given point, you can change the direction of your future. And the way you do that is you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That day can be today. The choice is all yours. So choose life, choose Jesus, choose heaven. It all begins with choosing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will help you make good choices, and he will lead you down a path that leads to life. So make the best choice today and choose Christ.